Good morning. Today's Daf and Baba Kama Chav Hey. We're on the Mishan Chav Dal Amud Beis and Karen. We are almost done with property damage. It's been a while since the beginning of the Masechta Daf Beis. So we opened up with various property damages. Your animal damaging. Your pit damaging. Your fire damaging. And what about you damaging? Wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow in Chavav we're going to be talking about Adam. Adamur La'olam, that comes up in tomorrow. But for the first. Now, almost 4 weeks of the daf, so we discuss property damages and the liability that is encapsulated in when your property does damage. And the simple upshot of the last 4 weeks is you're liable. You're right. Any one of our properties does damage, so then we have the liability and we have to make restitution to that, which we did. But that's the short version, the extraordinarily short version. The somewhat more expanded version is that there are categories. There are avos. And so what we need to know is that which property did damage and where did the damage take place? And as a result of that, it's going to govern the various degrees of liability. So, for example, Karen, and not just an example, but that's today's daf. So if my animal does damage via Karen, it lowers its head and it gores. And that's just one example of Karen. There are multiple examples of Karen. We're going to go over it again in our Mishnah in just a moment. So now what is the level of liability? So if it's a first, second, or third time offense, so you're going to be paying not Nezek Shalem, not full damage, but rather Chatzi Nezek. You're only paying half damages. And as we already concluded earlier in the Masechta, that's not a mammon, that's kanas. Meaning that really it's so unexpected, so unusual. We're talking about behema. These are domicile animals. And now they're going to lower their head and going to damage somebody else. It's somebody else's property. So that's totally unexpected. You really don't have to pay anything. But the Torah was kones. The Torah imposed a fine in which you're going to be paying chatzi nezek. And we also know that it is megufo. It is only going to go to the limits of the value of the animal that did the goring. It's capped. It's a capped damage. I know we've discussed this time and again. So what news are we going to be presenting in today's daf? Let's start with the Mishnah. Shor hamazik b'rishos hanizak. So let's say the damage were to occur b'rishos hanizak. Now, we know that when it comes to Karen, so the liability of Karen occurs across the board, regardless of where it happens. It can happen b'rishos harabim, it can happen b'rishos hanizak, and you're going to be paying chazi nezik. We know that. What if it's rishos hamazik? What if it's on my property? You had no business being on my property. Okay. So, but sure, hamazik b'rishos hanizak, keitzad. So when the damage is done, b'rishos hanizak, so nagach, nashach, ravat, ba'at. So all different examples of Karen. These are tolados of Karen. Okay, please forgive me. I'm not going to go through each one of them right now. But basically, these are unusual ways of your animal doing damage and kavanaso lahazik. The intention is to damage. There's no other reason why the animal would be doing this. Meaning there's no personal benefit for the animal in doing this. It's not eating. It's not walking. In other words, the animal's a mazik. But it's so unusual and it's intentional. And so as a result of that, this is now falling into the category of Karen. And so Bereshus Rabbi Misham Chatzinez Bereshus Hanizak. So if it's Rishos Rabbi Mipei Chatzinezek, that is a given. That's just a fact, undisputed fact. What is open for debate and dispute? So what happens if it's Bereshus Hanizak? So Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nezek Shalom Mechacham Emromim Chatzinezek. So the Mishnah over here introduces us to a machlokas. I say introduction. Truth of the matter is we heard this already, but we heard this in the Gemara making reference to this Mishnah. Here's the Mishnah. We're learning the Mishnah. And the Mishnah over here now introduces a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim in terms of whether or not Bereshus HaNizek it's Chatzi Nezek or Nezek Shalem. According to the Chachamim, Chatzi Nezek, and by the way, we can end today's daf by just simply saying that's the halacha. But there's a sheet to Rabbi Tarfon. The Rabbi Tarfon says that you pay Nezek Shalem. You're going to be paying full damages. Karen Bereshus HaNizek is Nezek Shalem according to Rabbi Tarfon. And now for the remainder of today's daf, meaning really, you're not dismissed, but that's it. Meaning that's the upshot of really today's daf. But from this point going forward, what we're going to do is that we're going to lift the hood and we're going to look underneath the hood. Meaning how do each of these Tanaim arrive at this at their conclusions? And so that's what we're going to be doing for the remainder of today's daf. Everyone, right, fasten seatbelts. Get ready for liftoff. Here we go. Amalem Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon says, Amaba makum shehakel, ala shem vala regel, b'rushus harabim, shehu pater. So hichmer aleim b'rushus hanizik l'shalim nezik shalim. So makum shehichmer ala keren b'rushus harabim, l'shalim chati nezik, eno din shenachmer alav, l'shalim nezik shalim. So Rabbi Tarfon says, what I have is what's called a kavachomer. It's a logical argument. Kavachomers occur time and again throughout Shas in today's daf. we are really going to be starting a particular Kav V'Chomer. The truth is that we're going to go over a couple of Kav V'Chomers today, but here is going to be now a prime example, a prototypical example of a Kav V'Chomer, and what we're going to be discussing today are the limits of Kav V'Chomer. So, but first and foremost, let's go over the Kav V'Chomer. The Kav V'Chomer, basically, what the Kav V'Chomer does is that using logic, and I know that's unusual, meaning we usually, when we go over halacha, right, halacha is not governed by logic and reason and rationale, meaning there are mitzvahs of the Torah, and, right, the mitzvahs of the Torah themselves are not logical, okay, which is true, which is correct, but at the same time, however, there are an assortment, I'm just going to insert parenthetical note, there are an assortment of mitzvahs and halachas of the Torah that are sichlios, that are reasonable and rational, don't kill, right, don't commit adultery. So there's sichlios, there are those, but, in other words, but as we all know, in other words, let's burn a red cow and let's mix it together with spring water and let's sprinkle on somebody and the person's no longer tummy, meaning that's not logical. That's just simply halacha. So the idea now that we're going to be using logic and reason and rationale in order to establish a particular halacha, that's called Kal V'Chomer, right? It happens all the time. So over here, this is going to be in today's daf. Right now we're going to close parentheses. Today's daf is going to be the prototypical example of a Kav V'Chomer. Rabbi Tarfon says, look, when it comes to Kav V'Chomer, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to take a halacha that we know in this area, and now we're going to extend it to that area. And in this regard, I say area, obviously I'm talking about subject matter, but over here I mean area, I'm also double entendre, I mean literally. In other words, area to area, meaning let's start off with what is in a Rishus HaRabim. In a Rishus HaRabim, so we know that area is a much more lenient area. You're going to be chayef on kerub, but meanwhile, you're going to be patur on shein v'rego. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to move. And let's move now into a rishus hanizak. So over there, you're chayef on shein v'rego. And how much are you chayef on shein v'rego? Nezek shalem. Well, if you're chayef on shein v'rego, nezek shalem, wouldn't it stand to reason? Okay, you can underline that word. Wouldn't it stand to reason now that you'd be chayef on keren, also nezek shalem? So that is now the Kav V'Chomer that is argued by Rabbi Tarfon, which is now leads him to the conclusion that Keren Bereshus HaNizak is in fact Nezek Shalem. So that is the argument of Rabbi Tarfon. Amr Lo, so the Chachamim counter, and they say Da'ilavam and Adilios Kenadon. So Ma Bereshus HaRabim Chatzin Nezek Af Bereshus HaNizak Chatzin Nezek. And so what the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Tarfon is, yeah, you have a Kav V'Chomer, but we also have the principle of Dayo. The principle of Dayo is that when I'm extending a halacha from A to B, from point A to point B, so I cannot go to point B and exceed the halacha greater than that of A. Okay, this is the principle of Dayo. So I am moving a halacha from A to B, and I now know because of the Kav V'Chomer, it's reasonable to move it. I understand you can move the halacha, but the halachi cannot be greater than the original point of A. And so that the principle of Dayo, and as we're going to get to the Gemara is going to tell us that the Dayo principle, where it limits the Kav V'Chomer, that's a din d'oraisa. The Gemara is going to say that. And then, of course, the Gemara is going to ask the question, well, why not? Let's just foreshadow a little bit. And then the Gemara is going to ask the question, if Dayo is the principle that everyone agrees to, so where's Rabbi Tarfon in the discussion? Gemara is going to ask that as well. Okay, that's a little bit of foreshadow. But so over here, what am I doing? I'm now transferring over the Kav V'Chomer that because we are more makel in the Rishus HaRabim, and there you're going to be paying Keren, you're going to be paying Chatzi Nezek Keren. So in the Rishus HaNizak, where that is an area of more liability, so for sure you're going to be paying Keren. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Tarfon, right, Kav V'Chomer is fantastic, fantastic Kav V'Chomer. But, in other words, it can't be greater than, meaning what is the Karen damages in the Rishus HaRabim? Chatzi Nezek. What is it going to be now in the Rishus HaNizak? Also, limit. Chatzi Nezek. Can't be greater than. Amar lahem afani lo adon Karen. Karen mi Karen. Rabbi Tarfon now is going to try to resuscitate his argument. Meaning he got punched. Right? The Chachamim really knocked down the not the Kav V'Chomer, but the idea that now that the Kav V'Chomer can go and expand and create a larger halacha. So Rabbi Tarfon got really hit. But okay, like any good fighter, Rabbi Tarfon now is going to get up and he's going to try to hit back. So Rabbi Tarfon says, you didn't understand me, and that is ani adon keren mi rego. So we really what I'm doing is I'm learning keren from rego. And it goes like this. Okay, now, in his resuscitated argument, really when all said and done, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this, so it really comes out to be the same point. In other words, it's packaged, let's say a little bit better, but it's really effectively the same point. Meaning, look, let's start with the Rishus HaRabim. What do we know about Rishus HaRabim? You're Pater on Shane, you're Pater on Regal, and there's liability for Karen. Now let's move over to the Rishus HaNizak, right? That's the B. Let's move over to the Rishus HaNizak. You're Chayv on Shane, you're Chayv on Regal, and oh, by the way, how much are you Chayv on Shane and Regal? Nezek Shalem. So wouldn't it now stand to reason and argue that on Karen you should also be Chayv Nezek Shalem as well? Okay. So we have now a resuscitated argument of Rabbi Tarfon and Amar Lo. And so the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Tarfon, look, repackaging, beautiful, right? I love repackaging, but doesn't change our point whatsoever. So the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Tarfon, our point is unchanged. And that is the principle of Dayo. The principle of Dayo tells us that I understand you're drawing a halacha from point A to point B, from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaNizak, but you can't exceed. In other words, the limitations of Kal V'chomer is that if in point A, Rishus HaRabim, the Karen is Chatzi Nezek, so now as I move it over to the Rishus HaNizak, and I understand we're moving it over using a Kal V'chomer, that's great. But when all said and done, Chatzi Nezek can't be greater than that of Rishus HaRabim. Okay. So over here, what we're looking at is a very fundamental, basic machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. We have now a Kal V'chomer. There is a reasonable, rational argument that one can make that in the Rishus HaNizak, there's higher liability. I know that because Shane V'regel is Pater in Rishus HaRabim and Chayv in the Rishus HaNizak. So now Karen, which is Chayv in the Rishus HaNizak, which is Chayv in the Rishus HaRabim, should for sure should be Chayv in the Rishus HaNizak. Ah, that's the argument. It's a great argument. But now the question is, what kind of Chayv? How much Chayv are we talking about? So the Chachamim said, look, I have the limits of Dayo. In the Rishus HaRabim, it's Chatzi Nezek, same thing in the Rishus HaNizak. And Rabbi Tarfon is trying to argue, no. In the Rishus HaNizak, Shein V'regel is Nezek Shalem. So it's going to be that Karen is also going to be Nezek Shalem as well. Okay. That takes us to the end of the Mishnah. And much to discuss over here. The Gemara is going to be discussing basic points regarding Kal V'chomer and Dayo. And everyone, let's get ready. But if I can, just for today, so I'm going to tease everybody's brain. Okay, this is going to be a really difficult question, which I'm going to ask, and it's not my question. The Rashash, one of the classic commentaries on the Gemara, asked this question. It's such a good question, right? Spent time thinking about it, discussed it with my Chavrusa this morning. The Rashash wants to know. According to Rabbi Tarfon, again, that's not the halacha, but still, in other words, we're learning Torah right now. So so according to Rabbi Tarfon, so now in the Rishus HaNizak, Karen, so my animal goes into the Nizak's property, does damage over there. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you're not paying now Chatzi Nezek, you're paying Nezek Shalem. Is that now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is that Knas or is that Mamon? A real brain teaser. Meaning because Chatzi Nezek in the Rishus HaRabim, as we concluded earlier in the Masechta, that's Knas. Ah. But in other words, but Rishus HaNizak, you're now paying Nezek Shalem. Would it make sense to say now that the Nezek Shalem payment is now still a Knas? Right? It sounds a little bit more like Mammon. On the other hand, we're learning it from the Karen of the Rishus HaRabim. That's a Knas. So the full Nezek, the Nezek Shalem in the Rishus HaNizek, according to Rabbi Tarfon, are we also changing its nature? Does it still remain a Knas or no? Maybe no, maybe not, maybe it's Mammon. The Rashash discusses, he deliberates, the Rashash himself does not have a conclusion on it. Really, take a look inside, I'm not reading inside right now, but he really argues both sides, and that he could really see it in one of each way. He left it inconclusive. We start with the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon, Leislei, Dayo, V'hadayo Medoraisahu. So the Gemara says, here's what I can't imagine. Rabbi Tarfon is just going to dismiss the entire institution of Dayo. Dayo is a concept that's given to us in the Torah. How do I know that? D'tanya. We learned the following. Midin Kal V'chomer Ketzad. So over here, the Braisa is going to teach us. This is the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Now we know the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, we say it every morning, right? Right before Psukah de Zimra. But we only say the heading of the Brisa, meaning the Yugim Amidah Shator Nezreshas Bahem. Here's your toolbox. How do you darshan the Torah? 13 tools. Okay. As we've noted before, there are more than 13. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel only highlights 13 of the however many there are. I don't have an exact number. Okay. I should, but I don't. So such simple ones that he leaves out. Ribui, miut, hekesh. Okay. So the 13 is not comprehensive. Okay. Its own discussion. But meanwhile, the Yugim and Midosh Atar Nidreshes Bahem, so these are the 13 tools. And of course, one of them, and not just one of them, by the way, number one on the list of 13 is Kal v'chomer. Okay. Then what happens in the Braisa, this is the part we don't know because that's where we stop. But in other words, later in that Braisa and said Braisa, it goes over, and how do I know? How do I know about Kal v'chomer? How do I know about Gzeirah Shavah? Meaning, where are the sources in the Torah that teach us these principles, these rules, these tools? Okay, so over here, midin kav v'chomer ketzad. That's exactly what the Brice is asking. So vayamar shem Moshe v'avir yorak yorak b'fanah alo tikalem shivas yamim. So, and the Torah goes on to describe tisagir shivas yamim mechutz amachane ve'achar teyasef. Okay, we all know the story. So Miriam is sequestered for 7 days, and that's the part that doesn't interest us. The part that does interest us is look at the psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, if her father were to spit at her, spit meaning basically rebuke her, reprimand her. So what she would do is that she would be sequestered for 7 days. In other words, it's like nazifa. It's like when you're excommunicated. So when you're excommunicated, so you're going to be now basically put in time out for a week. Now, why specifically a week is a fair question, meaning why is that the starting point? Great question, but let's just assume right now that's the number that we're going to start with. So, kal v'chomer l'shchina, arba'asar yom. So now, if a parent were to be reprimand and rebuke, 7 day sequestering. A Kadosh Baruch Hu rebukes you, should be two times greater. Now, why two times greater? Also a good question. Happens to be that Tosfos discusses, that Tosfos gives a couple suggestions over here. See Tosfos inside. Right now, I'm just going to stick with the point of Dayo. So over here, if a reprimand comes from the parent, that's a 1 week sequestering. If it comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's a two week sequestering. So Ela Dayo Lavam and Adilios Kenadon. However, even though we have a Kal v'chomer that we could make, but nevertheless, we're going to be capping and limiting the Kal v'chomer. Meaning Dayo. The principle of Dayo tells us what? Even though the Kal v'chomer would say exceed, but Dayo tells us I can't exceed. I'm going from A to B. A is what happens if dad reprimands. That's a one week timeout. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reprimands. I know the Kal v'chomer would say that we should exceed. Dayo tells us that we cap. And because we're going to cap, it's only going to be 1 week. She was only sequestered. She was only put in timeout for 1 week. So the Gemara says, so this idea of Dayo is built into Kal v'chomer. It's a dinda araisa. So the Gemara is asking now a really simple question. So Rabbi Tarfon says, you know what we're going to do with our Kal v'chomer? We're going to exceed. Karen in the Rishus Rabbim is Chatzi Nezek. I now move it over to the Rishus Nizak. Oh, it doubles. It's no longer Chatzi Nezek, it's Nezek Shalim. It doubles. Wait 1 second. We just learned together that you can make a Kal v'chomer, but the Kal v'chomer is going to be limited. It's going to be capped. So, and what is Rabbi Tarfon going to do? He's going to reject that idea? So the Gemara says, no, he's not going to reject that idea. In other words, he subscribes to Dayo. What he does, it's going to be the most ironic thing I'm going to say today, is that he limits the application of Dayo. Now, I hope you appreciate the irony, meaning Dayo in of itself is a limitation. So what Rabbi Tarfon is doing is he's putting limits on the limit. I told you today's a real today really teases the mind. So ki leifle dayo hechad amafri kav v'chomer hechad lo amafri kav v'chomer isle. So the Gemara says, look, what Rabbi Tarfon will tell you is the following, and that is that Rabbi Tarfon will reject dayo when what's going to happen is that with the application of dayo we're going to lose the kav v'chomer altogether. Meaning, if by asserting dayo, what's going to now happen is that you're basically going to fail on the Kal v'chomer. You're going to lose the Kal v'chomer. So then you can't apply Dayo. The limits of Dayo, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is that without Dayo, so we would lose the Kal v'chomer. Ah, but in other words, but Islay Dayo, I'm sorry. So Loma for Kavachomer Islay Dayo. But in other words, if we're not going to lose the Kavachomer, so then he subscribes to Dayo. Now, I know that's hard to understand. I recognize that that is tricky. Let's see if we can now take the principle and apply it, and that may help us. So Hasam Shiva Dishchina Lokzive. Ah. So in other words, how do I know how long you're in timeout? If reprimanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have a pasuk, meaning we don't know. So also kavachomer va'isei arba'asei. So now the kavachomer comes along, and the kavachomer tells us 14, meaning in the absence of any more information, immediately we would have jumped to 14 through the kavachomer. And again, why Kadosh Baruch Hu is double the parent? From the Gemara's perspective, we don't know. Again, Tosos gives suggestions. I leave it to you to do Tosos. But anyway, but the Kavachomer would have told us double. Now, Asa Dayo Va'apik Shiva Va'oki Shiva. Now what we get to do is we get to apply Dayo. Why? Because Dayo now is not going to break the Kavachomer. Meaning that we still have a Kavachomer. It's just Dayo now limits. Meaning we need the Kavachomer because without the Kavachomer, we simply have an absence of information. We don't know. How long is time out when reprimanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu? We simply don't know. We know that if reprimanded by a parent, it's a 1 week timeout, that we know. But now given over to, move it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we simply don't know. In other words, that's a question mark. The Kavachomer fills it in with the number 14. But now we get to apply Dayo and that we limit it. And now it's capped to 7. Avahacha, but over here, Chatzi Nezek Ksiv. So now, but when it comes to the damages that you pay via Karen, it's not unknown. We know. We know that Karen, you pay Chatzi Nezek. That's the given. So now what am I going to do? I have a Kavachomer. Oh, but I have to apply Dayo. Yeah, but if by applying Dayo, where do we land? In the place where we started. Meaning I already knew that Karen was Chatzi Nezek. And now I'm going to apply Kavachomer. Oh, but Dayo, so limited to Chatzi Nezek. Yeah, but that's before the Kavachomer, before Dayo, that's where we were already. So if what Dayo is going to do is just basically knock out the Kavachomer altogether and basically not allow us to apply the Kavachomer, so then, according to Rabbi Tarfon, we don't say Dayo. V'asa Kavachomer v'aisei Chatzi Nezek achrina v'nasa Nezek shalim. So idarasha Dayo afrech le Kavachomer. In other words, in the case of Karen, if you apply Dayo to the Kavachomer, so basically what I've done is I've just totally dismissed the Kavachomer. Because even without the Kavachomer, I still would have known Chatzi Nezek of Karen. Okay. That is Rabbi Tarfon's limitation of Dayo. And V'Rabbanan, now what we're going to do is the back and forth, classic back and forth. Meaning, and now that the Chachamim, we know the Chachamim have the rule of Dayo, and their rule of Dayo is not limited. Why? So V'Rabbanan Shiva Dishchina Ksive. So the Chachamim will say to Rabbi Tarfon, you're telling me, let's go now to our source of Dayo. The source of Dayo is Miriam. And what did Rabbi Tarfon say? I don't know how long the timeout would be if reprimanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Tarfon, what do you mean you don't know? Of course we know. So the Shiva Dishchina Ksive, Tisager Shivas Yamim. The Torah says that she's going to be put in timeout for 7 days. Meaning she was reprimanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, and for 7 days. What do you mean we don't know? Of course we know, it's a pasuk. And Rabbi Tarfon, now Rabbi Tarfon's counter to that is, Ha'u tisager didarshin and dayohu. No. So as far as tisager is concerned, so that's not the Torah informing us that she's going to be put into timeout for 7 days. No, that is telling us that's generated by Dayo. Meaning, Dayo got us to that point, not the Pasuk. And so over here, it really seems to be a very subtle, nuanced debate between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim when the Torah says that she is now going to be put into timeout for 7 days. Is that the Torah introducing this information to us? Or is that simply the Torah informing us based on the Kavachomer and the application of Dayo? Right? A really subtle and nuanced machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. V'Rabbanan, so Ksiv Krachrina v'tisager Miriam. So, and as far as the Chachamim are concerned, what do you mean? I have another Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Miriam was put into timeout. She was sequestered for, in other words, the Torah doesn't say it, but they read on in the Pasuk, Shivas Yamim, for 7 days. Okay. So what the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Tarfon is that Dayo is always going to be applied, even though with Dayo is going to be coming basically the question of, why do I need the Kal Vachomer anyway? Doesn't matter. In other words, we're always going to say Dayo, which means now that basically here we are. So I'm sorry, let me just read one more volley. And Rabbi Tarfon, Sahu Dafila Ba'alma, Darshina Dayo Velo Tomer Hachem Mishum Kvodos Moshe, Ava Ba'alma Lo Kamash Malan. No, and what Rabbi Tarfon will tell you is that this idea of Dayo is not just limited to this scenario over here. The Dayo is going to be applicable throughout. I might have thought, this is what Rabbi Tarfon's counter is, I might have thought that maybe over here there should be a consideration, meaning, who did Miriam speak Lashon Hara about? She spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. And because of Kvodos Moshe, and I'm sorry, and oh, by the way, and who davened on her behalf, right? That's the critical point over here. Moshe davened on her behalf. So maybe I would have said over here that, do you know why her sentence was reduced? Maybe the reduction of sentence has to do with the fact that Moshe davened on her behalf. That's how I would have thought. But had we used the Kal Vachomer for anybody else, so I would have said, oh, in other words, if the parent would have reprimanded for 7 days, it's 7 day timeout. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu reprimanded 14 days, Miriam, Moshe, maybe Kvadosh Moshe. Moshe intervened on her behalf. And therefore, that case is different. That's the Havamina. That's how Rabbi Tarfon would counter. Okay, we're not finished with the daf. We got more daf to do, but let's quickly recap. I have to admit that this, I mentioned in the beginning, so it's a difficult daf because really what we did is we opened up the hood and now we're looking at the system of how to use Kal Vachomer and when do we cap Kal Vachomer and does Kal Vachomer sometimes not get capped. Okay, so it's in this regard, just as a very brief, like cliff note version of what we just discussed. So Kal Vachomer is a principle that allows us to take a halacha and move it from point A to point B. As long as there is a reasonable and rational, a logical extension to move it from A to B, so we could do so. And Kal Vachomer will allow us to do so. Good. That part's easy. Here's where it gets difficult. When moving a halacha from A to B, so is that halacha going to ever be able to exceed in area B or greater than that where it was in area A? And what the Chachamim will tell you is never. Never. Why? Because of this principle of Dayo. Dayo tells us that even though I'm able to move a halacha from A to B, but in B, it can never exceed than that which it was in A. It's that simple, according to the Chachamim. So that means to say that Keren, in the Rishus HaRabim, how much are you chayv on Keren? Chatzi Nezek. Now let's move it over to the Rishus HaNizak. Rishus HaNizak, much more sensitive area. Rishus HaNizak, you're chayv in Shein, you're chayv in Regal. Oh, so Keren, for sure you should be chayv. Great, it's called a Kal Vachomer. That is great. But what the Chachamim will tell you is Dayo. And Dayo tells us, how much was I chayv in Keren in the Rishus HaRabim? Chatzi Nezek. How much am I going to be chayv in the Rishus HaNizak? Same. Chatzi Nezek. Zel Bazach. You thought I didn't speak Spanish. Okay, so it's the same. So that's the, and what the Chachamim will do is that every time we have a Kal Vachomer, we also are going to limit it using the principle of Dayo. And where the complexity in today's daf arrives at is that Rabbi Tarfon will say, not always. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. When am I going to apply Dayo? I will apply Dayo when I didn't know what the halacha would be in B. I'm carrying over from A to B. I didn't know what the halacha would be in B. So now when I'm carrying it over, so that carryover in an unknown area, so there I'm going to limit it with Dayo. Okay, and the Gemara, and Achinami, right? I understand that, but that's exactly what the Chacham said to Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Tarfon's got answers. You're right. Perfect. But Rabbi Tarfon will say that if without the Kal Vachomer, I already knew what the conclusion was going to be in B, so now I have a Kal Vachomer, so what am I going to do? Just ignore the Kal Vachomer? I can't ignore a Kal Vachomer. So what we're then allowed to do is if I already knew what the halacha would be in B, and I have a Kal Vachomer, so now it allows me to open up and expand and extend and make it greater than. Good. So we have now a very fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim in terms of whether or not the Dayo limitation is a constant, or is Dayo itself going to be limited in its application. Good. I hope, in other words, it happens to be that I find myself personally that my understanding of this has significantly improved over the years. So hopefully I communicate in a way that you really understand. We continue. So the Gemara says, I think I'm going to find a Tana who does not have the dio cap, even though the kavachomer is not mufrach. Meaning, I'm going to show you somebody who's going to expand using the kavachomer from point A to point B, even though we didn't know what the conclusion was going to be in B. Let's see this together inside. Detanya kari bezav minayin. Okay, so this is Tumah Tahara, and admittedly, if this is your first foray into Tumah Tahara, okay, I don't know how else to say it. You're going to be lost. But if you've been around long enough and you heard enough Tumah Tahara here in the daf or outside of the daf, so it's going to be a little bit easier. And I admit I'm going to do this quickly. I know I'm going to do this too quickly. And if this is your first round, so whatever. What you got to do is you got to, you know, if you're listening to the recording, get to play it again. But okay, vidinu. So the Gemara says, now what we're trying to ascertain is kari bezav minayin. So how do I know that? Let's say somebody's a zav, a man is a zav, which means that his zav discharge is going to be tamei bimaga uvemasa. And now, what if he doesn't have a zav discharge, but what if he has a kari discharge? Now, the kari discharge is different, meaning it actually is a different substance. It's got different coloration. It's got different viscosity. Okay, again, not for now, right? I'm not going to go through all these details right now. But anyway, so when a man is a zav and he has a standard balkari discharge, a seminal discharge, how do I know that zera that comes out of him is going to be tamei b'maga v'masa? Normally, zera that comes out is only tamei b'maga, but not b'masa. Okay, and meanwhile, when you're a zav, so now it's going to be tamei b'maga uv'masa. How do I know that? V'dinu. So what we're going to use is a kavachomer. So umatar b'tahor. So generally speaking, any secretions that come out of a tahor, meaning you and I are a tahor, which is a terrible example because you and I are not tahor. Okay, you and I are tamei mace. So okay, but regardless, in other words, okay. So for a standard tahor person who spits, so that spit that comes out of a standard tahor person is tahor, and tamei. And meanwhile, somebody who's a zav, so if he spits, I understand we're not even talking about the discharge that comes out of his aver. We're talking about the spit that comes out, but it's the same halacha. And that is that the spit that comes out is an avatuma. So, umatar b'tahor, tamei b'tamei. So now, tamei b'tahor, eino din shiyei tamei b'tamei. So now, for a tar person who has a seminal discharge, so that zera is tamei, it's an avatuma. It's mitame b'maga. So over here now, if I have a zav who's issuing a seminal discharge, which again now what we're this kavachomer is taking us from a tara person to a tame person. That's A to B, and by the tara person who has a seminal discharge, so there it's mitame b'maga. If a zav has a seminal discharge, so how much more so should it be mitame b'maga uvemasa? Right? Everyone see what just happened? So what would happen is that we took a halacha from A, we moved it over to B, and what we did is also we expanded it. Oh. Okay, so the kamaisila bein lemaga bein lemasa the amai named ahani kavachomer lemaga ve ahani dayo lafuke masa. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Meaning once we have the principle of dayo, we all should know what the next step is, which is, yes, you have a kavachomer, it's true. But the kavachomer going from the Torah person to the tamei person would allow us to say that if a tamei person has a shechva zera emission, so then it should be tamei, but only b'maga, not b'masa. Meaning by the Torah person, it's mitamei b'maga, not b'masa. Daya will tell us, yes, move the halacha over, but cap it. That's what Daya should tell me. V'chitem ha'lamaga lo itzarech. A kavachomer delo gara migavra tahor. So the Gemara says, now, what are you going to tell me? Now, you're going to tell me that, well, in other words, I already knew what the conclusion was. Remember, right? What we're trying to argue is that, at least according to Rabbi Tarfon and his school of thought, we're not going to use the dio limitation if I already knew the conclusion in point B. So over here, you want to argue. I knew the conclusion in point B. I already knew that if a Zav has a seminal discharge, it's metame b'maga. I knew that already. The Gemara says, not necessarily. There's a Hav, one could have suggested that maybe Sheikh Vazera Vazav is not going to be metamehim. Why? Because he's already in a state of Tumah. That's the argument that one could try to make. So the Gemara says, Midi lo davar acher ksiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you made that up. Meaning, there's nowhere in the Torah where it indicates this point. So in other words, you're just assuming that, well, without the Torah, I might have thought, and without the Kol V'chomer, I might have thought that a Zav has a Zera discharge, it's not Tameh. But the Torah doesn't say that. You said that. And the Gemara simply pushes back and says, well, it's not true. And by the way, meaning we just now had a Kol V'chomer that basically allowed us to do what? To expand, right? Why? Again, the expansion of the Kol V'chomer is that by a Torah who has a Sheikh Vazera emission, so that's Metame B'maga. A Zav who has a Sheikh Vazera emission, it's Metame B'maga V'masa. That was expansion. But in other words, why doesn't Dio prevent expansion? So to which the Gemara says, yeah, but it only prevents expansion if I didn't know what the halacha is. Here I knew what the halacha is. In other words, I already knew that a Zav that had a Zera discharge is going to be Metame B'maga. I knew that already. So now the Kol V'chomer has to have some application. The application is to expand the Tamasa.
Whatever the consistency is.
It's not. In other words, they're two different entities.
It's not semen?
Right, correct. Correct.
I thought it's just a different
good. So for purpose of clarification, not the same.
It's some other form of leprosy.
Yeah, I'm just giving an analogy. It's like a disease. It's like an infection. But it's like an infection. I'm not saying it is.
Okay.
So Mantan Dishamalay Damar Sheikh Vazera shows up Matambe Bemasa. The Gemara says and how do we even know this to begin with? That when a Zav has a Sheikh Vazera emission, so it's Matambe Bemaga Vemasa. In other words, how do we know that? So the Gemara says Lo Rabbi Elazar Lo Rabbi Yeshua did not Sheikh Vazera shows up Matambe Bemaga Vematambe Bemasa Div Rabbi Elazar. So first of all, this is a point of contention according to Rabbi Elazar. The Sheikh Vazera of Zav is only Metame B'maga, not B'masa. And Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Af Metame B'masa, Lefishi Afshar B'lok Sechsuche Ziva. And Rabbi Yoshua will counter and say, nah, it's Metame B'maga V'masa. But here's the point. According to Rabbi Yoshua, why is it Metame B'masa? Because when you're a Zav and you have a seminal discharge, there are going to be little droplets of Ziva in it. Meaning he currently is a Zav. So mixed together in his seminal discharge is going to be a little bit of Zav discharge as well. So ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua asamela yefshar b'lo sichsuch etziva halav hachilo. So the Gemara says, now, over here, these two Tanaim, I give you two Tanaim to choose from, neither of them say that the Sheikh Vazera of a Zav is Metame B'maga. I'm sorry, is Metame B'masa. Each one of them say it's only Metame B'masa. And even Rabbi Yeshua, who argues, he's only arguing because, in the Sheikh Vazer you have little driplets of Zav. But that's it. In other words, the Zera in of itself is only Metabe, Mamaga, not Bemasa. So the Gemara says, Ela Haitana did not. So the Gemara says, you're right. What we have to do is that we have to turn to a different Braisa. And not just a Braisa, by the way, it's a Mishnah in Kalim, right there in the first parak of Kalim. So Lemala Mehem. So the Mishnah in Kalim goes over the various tumas and which one is higher than the other. We have the Schutz Nishpah Shabbos of having Rav Schechter here, and he said a beautiful pshat in the name of Rav Nachum Zemba in terms of the not this Mishnah in Kalim, but basically the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Anyway, okay, sorry, just what it was fantastic. So, but meanwhile, over here, with this is another Mishnah in Kalim. And lamala mehem zava shol zav v'roko v'shich v'zaru me'me reglav v'dam anida metame ben b'maga v'masa. So various discharges that come out of a zav and that of a nida, and that is the zova of the zav and the spit and the zera and the urine and the dam of a nida. So they're all going to be metame b'magava masa. Okay, good. So I understand the brisa you cited earlier, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, they argue. But this Mishnah and Kalim is glut, that the shichva zera of a zav is metame b'magava masa. So the Gemara says, okay, great, Mishnah and Kalim, beautiful. How do you know you're right? Meaning, maybe the Mishnah and Kalim is telling us that the shichva zera of a zav is metame b'maga, but do you know why? Because there are little driplets of ziva there. So the Gemara says, im kain, lisne, gabe, zovo, maishan diktani lai, gabe roko, elamishum, da'asi roko. So the Gemara makes such a great diuk in the Mishnah. Go back to that Mishnah. Just look at the top line. The zovo shozav, roko shozav, shichva zaro meme raglav. Right? If the only reason why the zera of a zav would be metame b'magav amasa, if the only reason why is because it's got little drips of ziva in there, so then the order of the Mishnah should have been zovo shozav, and then shichva zera. That's how the Mishnah should have ordered it. But that's not what the Mishnah does. The Mishnah says zovo shozav, then followed by rok, then followed by shichva zera. Ah. Shichva zera, it's its own entity. And meanwhile, it's metame b'magav amasa. And it's not because there's little driplets of ziva there. It's not put next to the zovo shozav. Beautiful. So this Mishnah really teaches us there's a tanuz of the position that the zera of a zav is metame b'magav amasa. Okay. So what we have right now is the following, and that is that we have just gone over what we thought is a tana who doesn't is not going to have the dio cap, even when we knew what the conclusion is. And the counter argument of the Gemara is that no, we didn't know. We simply didn't know. Okay, Amle Ravacha Midifla Ravina. Hi Tana de lo darish dayo v'avagav de lo mafret kavachamid etanya. So the Gemara says, okay, let's do one more round of this. Okay, and one more round of, right, let's find a Tana who doesn't have the dayo limitation, even though it's gonna break the kavachomer altogether. So detanya will learn from the following brisa mapat. So b'meis minayin, how do I know that mapats, that is a mat, a reed, that is going to be subject to tumas meis? How do I know? How do I know it's subject to tumas meis? Vidinhu, so the Gemara says it's a kavachomer, mapachim ketanim tohorim bezav, metame b'mapats, because we're going to start now with pachim ketanim. Earthenware jugs, little ones that you can't, in other words, the openings are so small you can't even put your finger in. And it is tahor and bezav. It's not going to be tame with tumas zav. In other words, there's something called hesed. And here I know I'm going too quickly. I know. So there's something called hesed and tumas hesed where I go ahead and I make contact with it, move it. So it's going to become tame. However, that's only when it's subject to tumas medras. Over here, these pachim ketanim are not subject to tumas medras. They're not going to be tame, subject to tumas zav. And meanwhile, metame b'meis. And meanwhile, these small pachim ketanim are going to be subject to tumas meis. So mapat shemetame bezav. So eino din shemetame b'meis. So mapats, which is subject to tumas zav. In other words, because the zav can go and sit on it and lie down on it. So for sure, it's going to be subject to tumas meis. So over here, the kal v'chomer allows us to extend the halacha and bring the halacha over from pachim ketanim over to mapats. And by pachim ketanim, where there is no tumas medras, and meanwhile there's tumas meis. So mapas, where there's tumas meis, for sure there's going to be tumas medras. Good. V'kamaisila bein l'tumas erev bein l'tumas shiva. And now, as far as the mapas is concerned, so how much tuma are we talking about? The full gamut, meaning tumas erev and tumas shiva. Amai ema hanikav v'chomer tumas erev. So the Gemara says, okay, so I understand that when it comes to the Kavachomer, so for sure, Tumas Erev. However, Ahani Dayel Afuki Tumas Shiva. But in other words, but to extend it all the way to Tumas Shiva, maybe we wouldn't go that far. In other words, that's expansion. And Dayel will tell us that via Kavachomer, I'm limited. I don't have expansion. So Amalei Kvar Rama Ni Alei Rav Nechume Berzachar La'abaye V'Amalei Abaye Tana Mimapatz B'Sheretz Maisila. So the Gemara says, yeah, but, in other words, as far as the Bryce is concerned and what the Kavachomer is generated from, It's not from Medrash, but rather it's from Sheretz. So the because Hachi veHachi Kamar Mapas b'Sheretz Minayin. How do I know Mapas b'Sheretz? So Dinu Mapachim Ketanim Tarim Bezav Tamein b'Sheretz. Look, in other words, when it comes to Pachim Ketanim, which is Tahor by a Zav, but meanwhile it's Tamei b'Sheretz. So now Mapach Tamei Bezav in addition to Tamei b'Sheretz. Ah, so when it comes to Mapach, which is in fact Tamei via Zav, for sure should be Tamei through a Sheretz. So Ela Mapach b'Meis Minayin. Good. So now all I know is that Mapatz is subject to Tumah, eligible for Tumah, but only we know it only by Sheretz. How do I know it's going to be true by Mace as well? Nemer beged v'or b'Sheretz, and Nemer beged v'or b'Mace. So ma beged v'or ha'omer b'Sheretz, Mapatz tameh af beged v'or ha'omer b'Mace, Mapatz tameh hu. So the Gemara says, so over here, how do I now know that the Mapatz is also going to be susceptible to Tumah's Mace? So for that, what do I have? Egzera shava. Ah. So in other words, now what we just did is we left the world of Kal V'chomer and we're entering into the world of Gzera Shava. By Gzera Shava, you have no limitation. There's no capping Gzera Shava. And let's just finish one more point for today. Mufna. And oh, by the way, the Gzera Shava that we just learned together, it's Gzera Shava Mufna. Okay, Mufna means that the words that are used to create the hyperlink between the one area and the other area are both extraneous and therefore creates even a stronger gzeira shava. Because the ilam mufni kalam efrach malasher shekein metame bechadasha, tamer bemeisha eishem metame bechadasha, ala bechazayas. And look, because without a strong gzeira shava, so one could simply say, well, you're learning sheretz, and you're going from sheretz over to meis, sheretz is metame with the smallest little amount of sheretz, meaning you don't need the entire carcass of the sheretz, only the size of a adasha, a lentil bean, of the sheretz is all you need. But meanwhile, when it comes to human remains, so you need a kezias. So therefore, the gzera shava has to be rock solid. So the Gemara says, la yaf noe mufna. The Gemara says, good point. It's a gzera shava mufna. Michti. Sheretz itkish l'shech v'zera dechsev. Oish asher teitzev v'chul v'samich lei. Oish asher yigal v'chol sheretz. Uksiv bei b'shech v'zera v'chol beged v'chol or asher yelav shech v'zera. So beged v'or dekasav rechmana b'sheretz lamali. Sheretz and or are unnecessary. So shema min alafnuye, because they're unnecessary. So now what it does is it serves as the first anchor for the gzera shava and a strong anchor. Because it's mufna, it's unnecessary. V'yakati mufna mitzad echad hu anich laman da'amar. Mufna mitzad echad lameidim me'meshiv and shapir. Laman da'amar lameidim me'meshiv and ma'ik lame'mar. So demeis nami afnuye mufna. Now we're going to go to the other side of the gzera shava. And we're going to anchor it on the other side as well. On the other side of the gzera shava, unnecessary. Michti meisit kish l'shichva zera, because the mace is connected to shichva zera. Dichsiv anoge b'chol tamen nefesh o ish asher teitzim imenu. The Torah goes on to say shichva zera. Uksiv be'v shichva zera v'chol beged v'chol asher yelav shichva zera. So now we know that when it comes to shichva zera, it's beged v'or. So now I know Beged V'or by Shechva Zera. I have a connection, a hekesh between Shechva Zera and Mace. So the Kazar Rechmana ben Mace Lamali. So the Beged V'or mentioned by Mace is unnecessary. Perfect. We have now anchored the Gzereshava on the other side as well. So Shmamin Alaf Nuye and Mufna Mishnei Tzadim. So now it's Mufna on both sides. Ha Nicha Lamanda Amar Don Minav Uke Ba'asra. So when learning Gzereshava, so I'm learning Gzereshava from A to B. So don minav uka basra. So take it from point A, move it to point B, but contextualize it. But elaman dama domina mina maikala meymar. But if you're of the position of domina mina, that when learning from A to B using Gzereshava, so don't contextualize it, but push it through. So now I'm using the Gzereshava to teach me that Mapas is subject to Tumah, but how do I know that it's subject to Tumah Shiva? In other words, without contextualization, it's not going to be subject to Tumah Shiva. So Amarava, Amakra, Vichibastam Bigdechem, Biyom HaShivi'i, Kol Tumah Shatam Etamem B'meis, Lo Yipchusa Mishiva. So the Gemara says, even if I hold Domina Mina, nevertheless, over here, I know that's going to be Tumah Shiva because of the Pasuk. The Torah says is that you're going to be washing, meaning washing over here, meaning tovaling. You're going to be tovaling your clothing biyom hashivi'i. So in other words, once I extend now the mappets over to Tumas Mace, so because of the Pasuk, I now know that it's going to be Tumas Shiva, not just Tumas Erev. Okay. Adkan. Okay, what just happened today? Right, a hard daf, a difficult daf today. But what happened today is that basically we had a machlokas in our Mishnah about what happens when Karen does damage by Rishus HaNizak. According to the Chachamim, Chatzi Nezik, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, Nezik Shalem. Why did Rabbi Tarfon say Nezik Shalem? Because of a Kal V'chomer. Look, in the Rishus HaRabim, so there, it's a less sensitive area by Nezik. And there, the Karen payment is going to be Chatzi Nezik. So now I move the Nezik over to the Rishus HaNizak, and that is a much more sensitive area. There you're Chayav on Shein and on Regal. So now on Karen, what should you be Chayav? Not just Chatzi Nezik, but Nezik Shalem. That is Rabbi Tarfon. The Chachamim, on the other hand, disagree. No, Karen is Chatzi Nezik, regardless of where it occurs. What about a Kal V'chomer? So what the Chachamim will say to Rabbi Tarfon is, no, because you know what we do with a Kal V'chomer? We always cap it. Dayo, the principle of Dayo, capping and limiting Kal V'chomer. I'm learning Halacha from point A to point B. It can't in point B exceed and be greater than where it was in point A. Good. That's the principle of Dayo. And now Rabbi Tarfon will counter and say, I know the principle of Dayo. I agree with the principle of Dayo. But that's only where the Halacha was unknown in point B. So then I'm going to say that we're going to have to cap it. But if I already know what the conclusion is in point B, and I have a Kal V'chomer, and basically Dayo were to render the Kal V'chomer unnecessary, so then we're just going to push through the Kal V'chomer, allowing to expand in point B. Good. That's the limits of Dayo according to Rabbi Tarfon. Dayo, which itself is a limitation, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is limited. And that is step one in today's daf. And then, for the remainder of today's daf, we wanted to see whether there's a Tana out there who rejects this rule of Rabbi Tarfon. And after much searching, we didn't find it.